all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or good for me. All things are lawful for me, but listen to this, I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I've got to be careful of what I let come into my life, because if that thing ever has power over me and puts me into bondage, it will critically cripple my ability to serve God, love God, and love other people. So I really have to be on guard as a believer not to allow myself to be a partaker in anything that could tend to control me, that I could become in bondage to. And by the way, that is a very wide scoping thing there. It could be a lot of different things. Things that sometimes aren't necessarily called sin, but it also could be things that are called sin. So we got to be careful about giving into something that could control us. And it could lead to an addiction. I mean, how many times have we heard where alcohol is the forerunner to maybe marijuana, and that is a forerunner to another drug, where someone is looking for something more and more and more? And we know that that is a huge problem, even in our area here. Drugs is a huge problem. And we know that sometimes young people experiment with alcohol, but as they get older, it usually goes into something else. But if it doesn't, how many of us know someone that is an alcoholic, that they have become dependent upon that? It can be addictive. If it is something that I have to function, then it's undoubtedly something I don't need in my life. So it can become addictive. All right, number two, and I think this one is a big one, it could be a stumbling block. It could be a stumbling block. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. He says this. He said, but, verse 9, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Romans chapter 14, if you would go over there. Romans chapter 14, verse number 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother, what, stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Okay, so now Paul talks about, and by the way, Peter talked about this too. He's talking about the things in our life, specifically mentioned in Romans chapter 14, talking about wine, talking about alcohol. He said you want to be careful that you're not doing something that could offend someone or hurt someone, or that you put a stumbling block. What's a stumbling block? Have you ever fell, tripped over something that was in your way, or it made you fall? That's what a stumbling block is. It's something in your path that you trip over that could cause great harm. How many have tripped and had all kinds of problems? All right, so what Paul is saying, be careful that the things that you have in your life do not become a stumbling block to others. Okay, so let's think about this. What is my sphere of influence as a man, as a Christian? One, I have a wife. That's my wife. And I've got to be careful that I don't do something in my life that could cause my wife to stumble. Number two, I've got to be careful that I don't do something in my life, whether it be a sin or whether it just be a questionable thing, I don't want to do something to cause my children to stumble. For me, this is a big one. Because if I took up the idea that alcohol is okay, and I begin to drink and consume alcohol, my children could have the same idea. Well, their dad doesn't have a problem with it. It's okay for him. Then why is it not okay for me? And maybe, just maybe, if my children adopt that philosophy, what if they decide to start drinking? What if they have an addictive personality? Who do you think is going to answer for that at the judgment seat of Christ? I am, for putting a stumbling block. And I will maybe lose something there because of that happening. All right, now let's go to this fear. Not only do I have a family, but I also have Christian brothers and sisters. I have you. Now, what if you're driving down, no, let's just use it. We went to the river and celebrated Brad's birthday yesterday, and that's where he wanted to go for dinner, so that's where we went. And, you know, they serve alcohol there. What if you walked in and you walked by my table and you saw a drink or a bottle of beer sitting there or a glass of wine? What would you think about the pastor? I mean, honestly, you would have to question that. You're the pastor and you drink? Well, what does that look like? Okay, you know what you've just done? You've just reinforced the argument that we can put a stumbling block. That could potentially put a stumbling block. Now, there are some may say, hey, our pastor is cool with drinking. Yes! More than likely, it would do the other. If you saw me coming out of a bar, what would you think? Either he went down there to get one of the church members, or he was there himself. What would you think about that? That would be a stumbling block to some. You know what that would do? That could cause the weaker to stumble and fall. I don't want that on me. And what Paul is saying here, make sure you don't do anything. Stronger Christians, those who are, and by the way, the weaker and the stronger, and I don't want to go into Romans 14, but the strong one is the one that understands grace, understands liberty, and is willing to set aside their freedoms and liberties in Christ for the good of others. It's not the legalist who has ruled to death, all right? So what he's saying here is be careful, because you could cause your brother, your sister, your child, your wife to stumble. Be careful of that. Now, lastly, number four, it's a matter of love. It's a matter of love. All right, let's look at some, I'm going to take you through some passages. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We'll go there. You know this one. We love him because he first loved us. All right, so we understand that verse means that we are to love Jesus because he first loved us. He demonstrated that love to us by doing what? Dying on the cross. He said, I love you, and I love you this much. I love you this much that I'm going to die for you. We love him. We should love Jesus because he loved us first, and he loved us best, and he loved us completely. He loved us conditionally, unconditionally, and he loves us faithfully. And because of that love given to me from Jesus on the cross, I am to love him. Now, Matthew chapter 22. So we understand that principle. So Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37, Jesus is questioned by the Pharisees. What's the greatest commandment? 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Okay, same thing. Back in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. We're to love him because of who we are and what he's done for us. Now, look at verses 38 and 39. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We talked about this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that means we are to love them in the same way we would love ourselves. We are to put them ahead of us. And in doing so, we serve them, which leads to our next verse, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13. You don't have to, but if you want to, that's good. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. But look at what he says at the end of verse number 13. But by love, remember, we're supposed to love the Lord, we're supposed to love others, but by love, serve one another. Okay, so here's the way this works. I am to know God because I am I'm called to be saved. I'm called to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's knowing Him. I need to know Him as my Savior. Number two, I am to love Him, right? If I know Him, I'm to love Him. To know Him is to love Him. So if I know Him and I love Him, as it said in Matthew, because I know Him and I love Him, I'm to do what? I'm to love other people. And if I know Him, love other people, in doing that, I will serve other people. So what does that look like? Well, let's look here. Verse number 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, how do you bite and devour one another? That's not literal, folks. He's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about hurting one another. I believe he's talking about put a stumbling block in front of someone else to hurt them, to hurt their spiritual growth, to hurt them in their progression as a believer. And verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? How do you hurt people? By fulfilling the lust of the flesh. In other words, this way, by me doing what I want to do, me living the way I want to live, me living the lifestyle that I want to live is going to cause me to hurt someone else. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the two don't work together. You can't live in the flesh and live in the Spirit at the same time. You're either loving God and serving God and loving other people, or you're loving yourself and you're serving yourself. One or the other. That's what it means to live in the flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are this. Which are these? Adultery, fornication. We didn't read this last week, but there's a good verse for fornication. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Now follow me along here. Verse 21. Envying, murders, and what? Drunkenness. Self-indulgence in alcohol. Revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, are we living in the Spirit? Yes. If you're a born-again believer, you are living in the Spirit. So what is he saying here? He's saying if you live it, walk it. Love God, love others, serve others more than you do yourself. Put them first, and you will not fulfill your flesh. You will fulfill the Spirit and what the Spirit has for you to do. All right, let me finish it this way. Christians who drink, listen to me, you listen to me good. Christians who drink are not bad people. You understand what I'm saying? We sometimes, as Christians, put a label on other people. Well, you drink, you're a bad... No. No, because here's the thing. The Bible says a whole lot more about pride than it does the consumption of alcohol. So let's be careful here. Let's not be judgmental. So, number one, we need to understand Christians who drink are not bad people. Number two, Christians who don't drink are not better people. I don't drink. Does that make me better? No. No. You say, what does it make you? I don't know. Maybe a little bit wiser. Maybe a little bit more understanding of what the consequences could be. Now, here's what I know, and it boils down to this. And I've been told this many times by a lot of different people. And you can probably finish this. People will do what people want to do. If you're here today and you say, you know what, preacher, I hear what you're saying. I disagree with you, and I think it's okay, and I'm going to keep drinking. Listen, I want you to understand something. That's between you and the Lord. I don't go to houses. I know that some pastors go to houses, and they open the cupboards, and they open the refrigerators, and they try to find out what's going on in there. I don't do that. I'm serious. It happens. It happens. We have heard that. We don't do that here. I'm not coming to your house and checking your cupboards. All right? What you do is between you and the Lord. But let me also give you this stern warning. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Be careful. Be careful. By indulging in certain things, we can hurt ourselves. We can hurt our families. We can hurt our church. We can hurt the testimony of our Savior. And we need to be very, very careful. There's a lot at stake. It's important. So, where do you stand? That's between you and the Lord. Father, Lord, I always want to preach truth. And I feel like today, I know today, I believe today that I have. And sometimes that's difficult because I don't ever want to give these young people to my right ever a reason to believe that it's okay to just consume alcohol however they want. That before that decision would ever be made, it would need to be entered into with a lot of prayer and consideration. So, Father, I ask that you would work in me, help me to understand better. And, Lord, there's probably some things in my life that would fall maybe in the same category. Maybe they're lawful for me, but it's not real good. Maybe those things could become a stumbling block to other people. And Father, help me to always be aware and conscious of the fact that whatever the need is in my life, you can meet it better than anyone else. Help me to trust you more. Help each of us to trust you more. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.